going to have a good time here. We're doing our Reset series. This is our second week of our Reset series. If you're visiting with us, our setup normally isn't like this, but we just like to just take a bit of a bit more relaxed approach during January, just to help reset ourselves and reset ourselves on Jesus. We like to look over a few different things. Dan talked last week about setting our minds, our headsets, getting our minds set on Jesus. And next week we're talking about handholds, but today we're going to be looking at heart rates and looking at the condition of our heart. My heart is full, knowing that little shepherd is with us this morning. Caleb and Chelsea snuck in. Give them a little welcome. Caleb loves it when people talk like babies to babies, apparently. So I could try my best baby voice, but, you know, I won't. So our heart rates. I've been doing a lot of decluttering in our house over the last couple of weeks. Who knows that houses fill up? Wardrobes fill up. We had this conversation, Paul and Essie, just the other day. Wardrobes tend to fill up, and I've just been working my way through different parts of the house, decluttering. We've done so many trips to Vinnie's. Dan actually even dropped off a bag of library books. I'm like, did you return those library books that are like 6 months overdue? He's like, were they with the Vinnie's stuff? Who knows? I had to go to Vinnie's with the kids and search through their books to try and find these library books. We're still in the process. So if you're at a Vinnie's or a secondhand place and you notice a library book, can you just let me know? You're going to save me a whole lot of money. But we've been decluttering, and I was like, if I had to go through the whole house and do it in one day, I would be too overwhelmed. So some days I'm like, I've got 10 minutes. I'm going to clean that drawer. It's amazing what you can find in a cutlery drawer, but my cutlery joy is now a joy to look at. My pantry is like a holiday now. I can walk in and I feel like once I've decluttered an area, who's with me? You feel like you can walk in and you can breathe a little bit more. Like there's more oxygen in this place. Is it just me? I feel like there's more space now to have things that we really enjoy and get rid of the things that we don't need. And I feel like as we're looking at our heart rates this morning, that this is a great moment for us at the start of the year to reset our hearts and allow God and the Holy Spirit to search our hearts and help declutter some areas of our hearts. We're going to have a great morning as we do this, because I love how Dan said last week, life is lived from where you are on the inside. So everything that's going to come out this year and flow out of our lives this year is going to come out of what God is doing on the inside of us. You know, the physical heart that we all have, can you find a pulse? You should find your own pulse. Everybody does have a heart that is working. We do have some nurses in here, I'm pretty sure, if anyone's having trouble. But if you have a pulse, then this message really is for you about hearts. That heart, that muscle is in your heart is actually, if an adult's heart is about the size of two fists put together. The heart beats 115,000 times a day. And it pumps 7,570 liters of blood every day. Your heart is working hard. You better just thank that little heart. It's doing a good job there. Apparently, most heart attacks happen on Christmas Day. Wonder why. And I was interested to find out that a woman's heart beats slightly faster than a man's. Unless you're Dan and, you know, he's looking at me. It just beats a little faster. The heart is so important. It's the muscle that pumps blood to all the parts of your body, and it carries oxygen and nutrients so that the body can work properly. But often this heart that we have, we take for granted so much until something goes wrong, until there's a problem with the heart, right? We take it for granted. And we realize how important our heart is when all of a sudden somebody has a heart attack or a stroke or all of a sudden there's an irregular beat. I'm sure there'd be people here that have experienced that and know what it's like to have that time of rest after, or how everything just stops because the heart's sick, the body can't function properly because the heart needs time to rest. It affects your life, it affects relationships, it affects your physical ability, maybe even your emotional ability. I've had family who have had serious heart problems, and who knows, we rely so much on our hearts, we would be dead without our hearts, right? They're so important. So it is the same with our spiritual heart. The Bible talks about the heart of a man or woman being the central defining element of a human person. The heart that the Bible talks about is the spiritual nucleus that life orbits around. How cool is that? It's the innermost part of who we are, our heart, the innermost part. And when our innermost part isn't functioning correctly, then the same kind of things happen. It affects our whole lives. When our heart isn't healthy, it affects our life. It affects our relationships. It affects our energy. It affects our emotions. And often we are focusing on the external, our position, but God is more interested in the internal, in our condition. And this morning, I really feel like it's a great reminder for us that God is really interested in your heart condition and my heart condition. And the condition of our heart matters to God because everything flows from it, this innermost part of who we are. Lately, in my time with God in the mornings, I've been reading Proverbs, and I keep coming across this word integrity and the thought of integrity. And in the movie Horton Hears a Who, it's a little bit old now, but it used to be Sion's favourite movie when she was three, so I've seen it on repeat a number of times. Horton the elephant says, "I say what I mean and I mean what I say." And I think that's a simplistic way of looking at integrity. It's that everything lines up. It's like, you'll see me doing what I say, what I speak lines up. You know, when you see something out of place, it's like something doesn't line up here. But if I'm a person of integrity and I have integrity in my heart, then everything lines up. If I'm honest with you, though, there are many times in my life when my mouth and my heart is out of sync. Anybody else with me? There's times when I'm like, what's coming out of my mouth? All of a sudden, there'll come out this, you know, we'll be joking and I just take it too far and cross that line wherever it is. And I'm putting somebody down before I realize. Or I'm speaking and then all of a sudden I hear myself and I think, that's really negative. Well, that's really like critical. Sometimes I'm like, this burst of anger or frustration comes out. And I'm like, there's something going on because it doesn't sound right or feel right because I feel like my heart and my intention is good, but how come coming out of my mouth is something different? You're all looking at me like, you know, really, Amy? Like, we're praying for you right now. Are you with me? Yes, this is a human problem, not an Amy problem. I'm a human, but this is all of us. And I'm hearing it. I'm like, where did this come from? Because sometimes my mouth can say something that isn't helpful or bad, but my heart is really trying to be good. And sometimes my mouth is saying things that are right and helpful, but my heart isn't really in the right place. You with me? And God really puts his finger on it in Isaiah. And I read this again. I'm not saying anything to you that God hasn't already been talking to me about. Isaiah 29:13 says that God is talking to his people and he puts his finger on it in their hearts because he says, because these people draw near to me with their mouths and honor me with their lips while their hearts are far from me. It's like God calls our bluff. It's like a reminder, God can actually see through to my heart and knows my innermost thoughts and my motives. He actually knows the innermost part of me, even though my mouth might be saying the right things. God already knows the deep condition of my heart. These people, when I was studying this verse, it said they were people trying to control God with false worship because their actions were just external. They weren't from their heart. They're thinking if we say the right thing and appear to do the right thing, even though our heart isn't aligned with yours, God, or there's a problem or there's a hurt or there's something going on, it'll still be okay because God will still see this and he will just still not have any idea. It's like he'll still bless me because, you know, I'm doing the right thing. But God is actually more interested in our condition than on our position. I don't know about you, but I find it really easy to comment on other people's condition, right? Right? I find it easier to comment on other people's condition. I'll be like, who knows? You see a police speeding. What are you thinking? I'm commenting on that whole thing that's happening there. Hang on, you're meant to be a keeper of the law, but you're breaking the law. I can spot a hypocrite like a mile out. Is it just me? If you see a preacher and all of a sudden a swear word slips out, oh, hypocritical, because what you're saying isn't, I'm good at spotting other people's condition. I'm good at spotting what's out of line. And I can tell you, growing up in church, my father was a pastor for many years. Left church, came back with some friends, had some friends, and we went to church together. They got caught up on seeing the hypocriticalness of certain people in the church. They say this, but they do that, you know. And they ended up pulling away because of that. But I think it's really easy for us to look and comment on other people's condition. But I found in my time with God, when I came across this verse in Isaiah 29:13, these people draw near to me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me. I felt like God was just speaking to me about me and the condition of my heart. As I was studying this verse, I also read someone's thoughts on it that said outward proper worship. Worship that looks right on the outside offends God, because it's a way of evading God at a deeper level. Evading God at a deeper level. If I just keep up appearances. Anybody seen that TV show? Old one, Keeping Up Appearances. It was my dad's favorite. English family would just pretend to have it all together all the time. But who knows, at the heart of it, there were some deep issues there. Yeah. We can be like that. And I really, as I was reading this and thinking about this, it stopped me in my tracks. God, you're speaking to me about the condition of my heart. Am I just doing things to avoid you working and seeing in me to a deeper level? And I think God is so concerned about our heart. You know, when we think about Adam and Eve and how Adam and Eve turned away from God, did their own thing, and God could have just been like, well, that's what you're choosing, so you can live with that now. But instead, he came down and he found them. They were hiding, trying to avoid allowing God to see into their heart. Remember, they hid. They were trying to hide from God, but God said, where are you? He knew where they are, because he wanted to help them, because this is God's perspective on our hearts and our heart. He actually wants to help us. It's actually a perspective of love, like Glenn was talking about, where he's like, I want to help you with that. But often our deflect is to try and hide it or avoid allowing God to go deep in our heart. I think of even how God sent Jesus for us. You know, it wasn't just okay for God to leave us, but he was so concerned about the condition of our heart, of our brokenness and of our need for him. He was so moved by love that he sent his son so that we could be made whole again, so that we could know new life and wholeness in our innermost part. Avoiding doesn't actually fix anything. I'm talking to myself right now. I have to go to the dentist. I'm making a public confession. It's true. Avoiding doesn't fix anything, and we like avoiding things, right? Is it just me? Anyone else use the avoiding technique? There's a mess there, but I'm just going to avoid it, because then it's kind of like not really there, and maybe it'll just go away. Sometimes we try to avoid situations because we don't know how to deal with it, and we just think there's situations in our heart. Let's just avoid that and just keep going like everything's okay. Or sometimes we think, well, I'll work that out myself. I don't actually need God's help. I don't actually need to talk to somebody else about it and get some godly kind of help there. I'll just deal with it myself. Can I tell you a story about trying to fix something yourself that just gets messier? We've got a dog, right? Her name's Roxy. And Roxy has a huge tumor on the back of her leg. Abby Penalino is praying for her healing, but we're like, her time's nearly up, right, kids? We've settled on this. Roxy's living on borrowed time. But anyway, I took Roxy for a walk the other day. If you want to start a GoFundMe, you can. But really, that's a very touching moment right now, isn't it? I should have had a photo of Roxy on the screen. I took her for a walk the other day, and our community has a Facebook page for the community, and everybody comments on everybody else's hypocritical behaviour or what they're doing right or wrong. People are walking their dogs and they don't have them on leads, so we're like, okay, we're getting a lead for Roxy. All right then. Even though there's like three massive ovals and they're dogs, you know, let them be free, but okay. So we get a lead for Roxy. Next, there's comments about dogs doing poos everywhere and people not picking them up. Well, I grew up in the real world where dogs just do their business and it just decomposes and everything's okay. Sorry, I grew up in a small country town and we were quite relaxed about that. But now Dan and I have actually succumbed to the whole grab the doggy doo bag, take it with you and put your hand in the bag, pick up the doo and then put it in the bin. Can I tell you that it puts a dampener on my morning walks to have to do that sometimes? I went for a walk one day and I wasn't near the bin and I hadn't picked up a bag and tied it to the leash like I normally do. I was on the other side of the oval and no one was around, but she decided to do her business near the path and I'm like, okay, I'm kind of in a, you know, I know I need to do the right thing. I can tell you my heart is not in this. I don't have a bag. It's right near the path. The best I could possibly do is try and flick it from one side of the path into the bush, which is near the fence that nobody's... Surely that doesn't count. People don't walk there. So no one's around, but I want to do the right thing because I don't want to be pointed out by the Facebook community as irresponsible owners. You know, we're trying to build and witness to our neighbours. And so all I can find is bark, the whitest piece of bark I could find, and try and scoop up the doggy doo, which happened to be extra sloppy that day. I'm trying to clean up this mess myself in my own way, and I try and scoop it up, but as I'm turning to carry it across the path to throw it into the thing, it falls in the middle of the path. Who knows, when we try and clean up our own messes our own way, then it doesn't always work. It can just become more messy. Needless to say, I had to get another piece of bark and try and scrape it off and then went and got dirt and sprinkled it on the path. So I'd done my community best, right? Thank you for your applause. I just like, thank you. I'm doing it for the Lord. All right. Then we went for a family bike ride that night, didn't we, Armstrong? And I told the kids, by the way, that pile of dirt's got poo under it. Armstrong's like, I rode through it on my bike. When we try to avoid allowing God to come in and fix stuff in our lives, it can just get messy and just get worse. And I've just got a couple of reflection thoughts for us as we reset our hearts. Is there anywhere in your life where you are avoiding God, where you're avoiding allowing Him to go in a deeper level in an area of your heart? For me, often it's things like hurt that I'm holding on to, unforgiveness. Maybe it's hurt towards God. Why did this happen like this? Unforgiveness, or sometimes I know that I'm sinning and I'm choosing to sin and I need to bring it to God and I need to make it right and I need to repent, which means, you know, turning away from that and turning to Him. Maybe you already know some areas in your heart that you've been avoiding allowing God to go deep in. The question I'm asking myself and you is, why do we avoid that? Why do we try to avoid allowing God to go into those places in our heart? You know, my house is messy and someone comes over that I don't really know, I'll be like, and I'm still in my pajamas at like 10 o'clock and haven't done my hair or anything, I'm probably going to talk to you through a gap in the door or message you or pretend I'm not home. But if you're somebody that I've known for a long time, that I know accepts me as I am, knows the reality of life, I'll just be like, come on in. Can you make me breakfast? No, I'm just like trying to say that I think it comes down to a thing of trust. I think we're avoiding God in those areas because we're not trusting Him with our vulnerability. You know, when Dan and I first got married, we lived in a unit that had carpet in the bathroom. It was pretty awesome. On Kapringa Drive near Hollywood Plaza. Yep, it was the honeymoon shack. It was, you know, I wouldn't live there now, but it was great. We had youth over and everything. It was great. Anyway, I remember clearly in our first year or so of marriage having some kind of disagreement with Dan, and my default was to just shut down and not talk about it and leave the room. And I thought this was actually a great way of coping because I thought I'm not drawing attention and I'm not saying, poor me, and I'm not burdening you with how I'm feeling. I'm just going to shut up and just block myself off. Everybody knows people like that, right? It's not actually very helpful. And what Dan did is he refused to let me walk off like that. I remember going upstairs of our unit. He followed me up the stairs. It makes me more angry. Just leave me alone. I walk into our carpeted bathroom. Follow me into the office, into the spare room. It was a pretty small apartment, but unit, but he was still following me. And he's like, I'm not going to let you do this. He followed me so that I couldn't avoid the conversation. I realized later on reflection, I was actually avoiding him because I felt like I'm going to be really vulnerable in this moment if I actually let you into this. If I actually say how I'm really feeling, what if you don't actually accept me? What if there's some part of this that sounds so stupid and I'm going to feel really vulnerable here? Communication now is a really strong area in our life, probably because he didn't let me go. But I thought silent treatment was going to work because I was vulnerable and I felt scared. But I think often we can feel overwhelmed in our heart. We know there's an area of our heart that actually needs to be open to God, but at the moment there's like a close sign maybe. And I think that we can feel overwhelmed when sometimes maybe we don't even know what's coming out of our mouth. Why is that coming out? And I actually don't even know what I'm feeling or why I'm feeling this way. Our heart can feel overwhelmed when we don't know how to help ourselves and we don't know what to do about it. But I, you know, when my kids were little and they would hurt themselves, have you ever had somebody come and they've hurt themselves, but the kids are like, I'm like, okay, you've hurt yourself, but they're scared to show you where they've hurt themselves. It's like, if I show you my hurt, are you going to hurt me more? Have you been there? It's like, oh, I've hurt my finger. Show me, let me see it. And they're like, oh, I remember being like that with my mum. It's here, but I really don't want to show you. What if you hurt me more? I feel like this is like Jesus and me often. I feel like the kids are like, you know, the parents like, okay, now you can show me, you can trust me with this, you know, and we work for like 5 minutes. I'm actually here to help you. I'm here for your good. I want to help you with this, but it's like, no, I don't want to show in case you hurt me. It's like, you can trust me. It's like, and then as a parent, I'm like, okay, let's have a look at it. Let's have a look at this hurt. Okay, tell me what happened here. And then, you know, as a parent, it can be like, okay, let's just acknowledge how you feel. I know you're feeling really hurt right now, but let's clean this up. I know how to help fix this. Let me help you. And now we're going to let it heal. And then we're going to be careful. And then we're going to get back up. And let's just have another go. I feel like this is the storyline often for when I'm hurt or something's in my heart. And I feel like that's what I'm like with God. I go through that whole process. Are you with me? I feel like the issue is really trust, and God is like, you can trust me with your heart. You can trust me with those things that hurt. You can trust me with your heart. In Psalm 61, verse 1 to 3, somebody penned this song down, and it says, they said, hear my cry, O God, and listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I call to you when my heart is faint, when my heart is overwhelmed, or when my heart is without strength. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy. I love in this picture we have someone whose heart is overwhelmed, but they're saying, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Lead me to Jesus. And as I was studying this verse, they said that people would sing this song, this congregation, and they would imagine themselves in all manner of places, like to the ends of the earth, and in circumstances where their heart is faint, in circumstances where they felt needy or exposed or vulnerable, And they said, in such cases as this congregation sings this prayer, they should lift their cry to God, who is a reliable refuge, a strong tower to the rock that is higher than I, which is an image of safety. You know, our heart, our innermost part, can be overwhelmed in trying to match the rhythms of the world, in trying to keep up with friends and match their rhythm, in trying to keep up with social media, in trying to keep up with our own ideals or perfection or what we think is expected. Our heart can become overwhelmed. Our heart can be overwhelmed. When I was young, I'm 4 years younger than my older sister, we would ride to school together. And she had one of the big kid bikes with the big wheels. And I had the, like, I bet it was like a toddler bike in my memory. And my wheels were about this wide, no joke. We had to ride like 20 minutes to school. And I forever remember looking down this huge, long, straight road we had to go on. And my sister being ages ahead than me, yelling, "Hurry up, Amy, you're so slow." And I'm on my little bike in my little mind going, but I'm turning my pedals and my wheels at the same speed rate that you're turning yours. I was trying to compare my rate and my rhythm with hers, but her wheels were bigger. So hence she moved quicker. Get me? Sometimes we get overwhelmed trying to match our heart to somebody else's heart. But that isn't going to actually fix what's going on in our heart. God is interested in the condition of our heart. I woke up this morning and I remembered being a little girl lying in bed next to my mum. Must be like when I was 4 or so, and you know, mum's still trying to get kids to have their afternoon naps. I remember lying on her bed next to her and just nothing else was happening in the house. It was really still. And I remember looking at her and watching her chest move up and down, just watching the rhythm of her breathing. And I remember as a kid trying to match my inhale and my exhale with hers. Strange what you remember, isn't it? But I remember the stillness of that moment. And I remember just so much wanting to be like her and just to be with her and to be like a one with her. Yeah, I know I wasn't thinking that was four, but, you know, like it was that feeling. I feel like at the simplest version of getting our heart right or reset is us being still with Jesus and watching him and letting our hearts align with his. So like, this has been causing me really a big hurt, Jesus. But when I stop and I'm still and I look at you, is it really a hurt to you? Well, this was a big deal to me, but can you help me with this? And I just feel like our whole goal is really to let our heart beat in the same rhythm as his. Do you get what I mean? Doesn't diminish the fact that we're hurt or we're struggling or we've experienced deep heart hurts or we've held on to things or we know we need to get things right. But I think the place that all of that gets sorted out is when we are still and we're looking at Jesus like, I really just want my heart to be like yours. I just really want my heart to be like yours. And because of his love and his kindness, he helps us, not all at once, deal with everything, but maybe just one at a time. And the best thing we can do is say, Holy Spirit, can you just, I want my heart to be right. I want my heart to be aligned and aligned with your heart, God. So can you, if there's some issue there, I'm going to trust you to come in and just to help me through that, because I want there to be room in my life for your greatness to be seen. I want there to be more room in my life. I want you to declutter some of these areas because we're called to be people that the glory of God is seen in and through, and the glory of God is the revealed greatness of God. And sometimes if all those doors are closed, people come over, I'm closing the doors that are messy. If those doors are all closed and not dealt with, I just feel like God wants to just come and almost just like help us to see that we can trust him and allow him to clean out some of those spaces. so that His glory can be seen in an even brighter and a greater way in our life as we trust Him. Psalm 51, as you read through the psalm, there's a lot of repenting and a lot of, God, I'm coming back to You, please forgive me. And ends on the verse, well, in verse 10 to 12, says, God, someone is crying out, God, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Not a heart that lines up with this person's or what I think it should be like, but a heart that lines up with Your heartbeat, Jesus. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from Your presence. Take not Your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me, God, the joy of Your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Getting our hearts right and our heart in line with His isn't something that happens as a one-off. It's a daily, weekly, monthly, a constant thing of being in relationship with Him and trusting Him and allowing Him to align our hearts with Him. And I just want to encourage you as we worship to almost be still and look at Him and just begin to say, God, would You align my heart with Yours? Would You stand with me? Is God speaking to you here this morning? Is God talking to some people here about our heart? This is a human condition that God is so good at coming in and creating a clean heart, renewing a right spirit. Father, we come to You and we thank You that You lead us to the rock that is higher than I. If there are people here this morning whose hearts have been overwhelmed or heavy burden, Lord, just this morning, that inmost part of us comes before You and says, God, we want to learn to trust You more, to be open to You. We want to allow You, Lord, into our lives. Holy Spirit, we just invite You to come in and to look at the innermost part of us and help declutter some areas in our heart. I pray even over this next week or month, You would do that as You do with Your kindness and Your grace and Your love, Lord. Help our hearts to be cleaned out for Your glory to shine in and move through, Father. We want to align our heart with Yours. And just like I laid next to my mum and looked at her and saw the rhythm of her breathing and of her heart, Jesus, as we worship now, we are looking at You and we want to align the rhythm of our lives and of our heart and of our heart song with You. We love You. Thank You. Come and do what only You can do. Holy Spirit, I pray. In Jesus' name.